All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Okay, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. I want to give you guys a little bit of an update on what's going on in Ukraine. Also touch on some other news. Not too much going on in the world right now, but let's start off with our daily Bible study. July 14th. I pray that everything's doing good with all you guys on this Friday, that God's with you, that you're with Him. Make sure that you're taking time out of this lovely weekend coming up to spend time with your family. Go out, go on your vacations, go hang out, have fun, enjoy life. That's an order. Don't sit in your spider holes and eat your MREs all day, guys. Get out and enjoy this life. All right. Go ahead and cry. When you hurt the worst, go to your secret prayer closet and weep out all your bitterness. We know that Jesus wept. Peter wept bitterly. Yet his bitter tears worked a sweet miracle in him, and he came back to shake the kingdom of Satan. Years ago, Betty Rollin, a woman who endured a mastectomy, wrote a book entitled First You Cry. How true is that title? Recently, I talked with a friend who was just informed that he had terminal cancer. The first thing you do, he said, is cry until there are no more tears left. Then you begin to move closer to Jesus until you know his arms are holding you tight. Jesus never looks away from a crying heart. He said, a broken heart I will not despise. That's Psalm 51, verse 17. Not once will the Lord say, get hold of yourself, stand up and take your medicine, grit your teeth and dry your tears. No, Jesus hears our every cry and bottles our every tear. Do you hurt? Then go ahead and cry. Keep on crying until the tears stop flowing, as my friend said. Then encourage yourself in the Lord. When the fog surrounds you and you cannot see any way out of your dilemma, lie back in the arms of Jesus and simply trust Him. He has to do it all. He only wants your faith, your confidence. He wants you to cry aloud, Jesus loves me. He is with me and He will not fail me. He is working it all out right now. I will not be cast down. I will not be defeated. I will not become a victim of Satan. I will not lose my mind or my direction. I love God and He loves me, and that is all I need. I know He is on my side. You know, for us big tough guys, talking about crying it out and letting your emotions show is almost taboo in our culture. But I will say this. Had a listener who, he's going through some problems, and this brother reached out to me asking for some guidance, some counseling on how to deal with his problems. And I told him, you know, I've dealt with similar problems, especially with anger, and what I had to learn how to do eventually was to just take my woes, my fears, my sadness, my anger, and I had to lay it at the foot of the cross. I had to lay it at Jesus' feet because I could not hold the burden anymore. It was holding me down. It was holding me back. It was causing marital problems, with me trying to be, you know, a copacetic dad, trying to have this professional career, and it just wasn't helping. There was nothing that I could do. I had to give it to Christ. And trust me, it's not like I didn't try to solve my own problems. But I found out that I couldn't. And I found out more and more that I could rely upon God, that I could rely upon my Lord to redeem me when I didn't feel like I was worthy of being redeemed. I could rely upon my Lord to comfort me when I felt like no one could understand me. You know, for guys who's been through law enforcement, who's been through war, I'll speak solely upon my experiences, some of you who, you know, whatever your profession is, you have your experiences of how things can go really bad at times. But for me, it was hard to share, you know, sad memories, bad memories, try to get those, you know, skeletons out of the closet. It was hard for me to share that with anybody because in our culture, especially in the Marine Corps, it's, you know, if you're sick, you don't go to sick call. You just, you know, run a little slower, complain a little bit more, and just do your job. You know, if you're hurt, you don't say anything. Everybody knew when we were upset or when we were happy, but our ability to truly communicate was lacking most of the time because the culture didn't allow it. And I know there's a, you know, I was raised by a dad who was raised in that culture where you don't cry. You don't talk about your fears and your woes. You just keep everything bottled up inside. And then, you know, what ends up happening? You end up eventually exploding on the wrong people on the wrong day, or you turn to substance abuse. And I did both. I abused alcohol. I would say I abused cigarettes. Heck, I probably smoked 2 to 3 packs of Marlboro Reds a day ever since Iraq. It just, yeah, I just couldn't shake it. And I know there's been plenty of guys like that, but, you know, I almost feel like that was a phase in my life that I had to eventually get over. Like it was a hump I had to eventually walk over. And I was intemperate in my youth. Foolish, bullheaded, and, you know, like most young men, I didn't have anyone to really show me the right direction to go. I didn't have anyone to say, hey, man, don't do that. God expects more from you. More is expected of you, especially since you're also a veteran, and you're a police officer. You know, people should not expect a unprofessional you. So, you know, eventually, as I was being, you know, raised, more or less, I was raised in the Marine Corps and then raised in law enforcement. You know, I had all different kind of men to help my raising and understanding. And it took a while, but eventually I learned that I need to be able to process my problems away from work. So while I'm at work, I can function, but then not take work home and then be miserable at home, which is, that was my problem. That's what I was doing. When you work in law enforcement, you end up working with a lot of idiots, not just, you know, going out and capturing people and doing all the cool guy stuff and with criminals who are just another kind of idiot, but there's plenty of cops who are idiots, and our bosses who forgot how to be a cop but still put the uniform on every day and expect, you know, all the royalties of being a cop, they become some of the biggest idiots in the world because they become politicians. And so, you know, it's just, it's a spiraling out of control at times type of profession. That's why a lot of us actually envy our brethren from the Firefighters Guild. And you guys got it good. You know, I mean, it's a hard job. That's a hard academy too. Boy, that's a hard academy. But the downtime that you guys get and the ability to decompress, I think is why most firefighters love their job and they do that job for their entire life and they don't get really burnt out with it. Law enforcement, on the other hand, is way different. You know, by the time you were seasoned like me at, you know, 10 years working in law enforcement before I got out, I was so jaded. I could care less about almost anything every day I showed up for work. And it's not that I didn't want to do the job. I loved my job. I loved the violence and action of the job. I loved helping people. What I hated was the bureaucracy. Dealing with the bureaucracy was the worst part of my job. Because, you know, the cop part's easy. Putting handcuffs on people, fighting bad dudes, that's easy. Going out and, you know, helping someone, that's the easy part. That's the part we like to do. It's the paperwork. It's dealing with the stupid lawyers, dealing with the bosses. HR says you need to come and visit. because you did something wrong the other day. You said the wrong thing to the wrong secretary, or you looked at somebody wrong. I used to get accused of all different types of stuff. And you know, and not only that, but man, the world within, you know, law enforcement gets a little weird with all the personalities. Once again, probably 80% of people who are a cop shouldn't be a cop. I think law enforcement should be greatly reevaluated, but that's my opinion. It means nothing now. But for you young men out there, and even you guys, you know, my age, you know, if you find yourself, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning and you're still up, like I typically am, the only way I used to be able to go to bed was by drinking. That was the only way I could sleep. The only way I could get through the dreams. I had to be drunk. Couldn't be sober. There were times where I would sleep for about 3 or 4 hours. But when I could, I had alcohol. And that's substance abuse. And that's not right, guys. That's for one thing, there's no cool factor in it. 2, you're destroying your body. And 3, as I say to myself now every day, in everything that you do, are you glorifying God? By my actions, am I glorifying God? Me and my wife the other day got into a little spat over nothing, over the fact that Doug can't hear out of his right ear, and she was calling for me to bring the baby to her. And all I saw was her mouthing, and I didn't answer, and she said it louder, which caused me to respond. It's miscommunication, and I probably got aggressive when I shouldn't, but immediately upon my heart, I was like, oh my God, what am I doing, Lord? And everything that you do, is this worthy of my time? Is this anger worthy of my time? Is this stress worth it? Is getting into a senseless, baseless argument worth it? Am I glorifying God by my actions? Can I possibly bite my tongue and shut up and think before I speak? These are things that it took me a while to learn as an adult now, that I'm trying to teach to these younger guys who think they know everything. The other night in the gym, I am finishing up a overhead press workout. And here's these scraggling groups of, teens, probably 18, 19-year-old guys. All the cool kids. And I don't know what the deal is with the 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-old kids and the hairstyles that they have now, but I don't know, man. They're looking very feminine to me. They all look like a bunch of little Justin Biebers. So here's this group of stupid young kids. They're doing tricep kickbacks on the cable machine. And, I'm like, hey, not that I know anything, but you may want to try and, put your hand in this position to help engage the tricep more. And they just looked at me like, who are you? And I was like, you know what? Don't worry. I'm just a dude who's over here trying to teach you something, but you know better. You go do what you want, kid. Like, my patience for dealing with a lot of these guys sometimes wears thin because, like, probably like most of you, when I was raised, you gave the proper greeting of the day. You said, sir. You didn't say, yeah. You didn't say, man. You didn't say, hey, what's up? When you talk to an older man, you gave him respect. But that respect's missing now. It's gone. I don't think it's coming back unless we beat it into them or this world beats it into them. I know for probably most of you, your daddy beat it into you like mine did. That'll be a problem that we will all have to deal with here probably within the next 2 to 3 years, because this new generation will be the next generation of warfighters. I don't like the route that the DOD is going. The Pentagon, I think, has completely turned itself upside down into a pentagram. And, you know, with this presidential leadership, that's a joke that we have. I don't know the direction that this guy thinks he's going, but it ain't good. It ain't the right way. So, speaking of His Highness, Biden allows Pentagon to tap reservists for European mission amid the Ukraine war. Yep, here it comes. Here comes the call up. We've been warning about it for so long now. I'm like not even shocked that it's happening, and other people are shocked. But once they get involved, then the draft will come. President Joe Biden signed an executive order Thursday that will allow the Pentagon to tap into reserve forces for deployment to Europe as part of its longstanding NATO mission on the continent. According to a copy of the order released by the White House, it allows the military to use up to 3,000 reservists, service members to augment its forces in Europe, which grew in reaction to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So if I'm correct, we have something like, we have something like close to 100,000 people already in Europe. So is 3,000 something really worthy for all these websites to be putting on, and everybody's all, Biden's activating the rest of the military? 3,000 people is, you know, and I don't even know if these are combat guys or if these are intel, if they're a bunch of fobbits that'll be out there. Who knows what they're going to be doing or who they are. But, you know, to have to recall guys back into the service, that's interesting. That's very interesting. And I know some of the guys that are in IRR, that's so like in the military, at least the way my contract was, you have to serve 8 years if you're enlisted. So 4 of those years have to be active duty, and then the other 4 is inactive, or it's something like that. Or you'll do like, you know, 6 years active and then 2 years inactive, or I don't know, however your contract was. So for mine, you know, I did my 4 years active duty, and the last 4 years is inactive ready reserves. So I don't have to show up. I don't do anything. But if I get called back and I'm still within that 4 years, well, then I have to go. So for anyone who is stuck in that quagmire that, you know, you've recently got out, you may get tapped to come right back in. Man, that would suck. But I think we will eventually get into a war with Russia in Ukraine. It'll be a whole entire NATO war, a European war. I don't think we're going to dominate. We might. I don't know. The Pentagon said last year that it increased the troop presence on the continent by about 20,000 troops as Russian President Vladimir Putin attempted to seize the country, which brought the total U.S. force in Europe to more than 100,000 troops. It's unlocking additional forces for use in support of this operation, says General Pat Ryder. So, let me see. Lieutenant General Douglas Sims of the Joint Staff Director of Operations says that these authorities will enable the department to better support and sustain its enhanced presence and level of operations in Europe. Lieutenant General Sims says that these are not additional forces. Over time, where we may have had someone from an active component organization doing something, that job now under these authorities may be something that a reserve component unit may be able to do. So I don't know if that's what they're doing, if they may be rotating out reservists to allow guys that are active duty to rotate out of country and come back into CONUS. Maybe that's part of what's going on. But yeah, my personal opinion, don't freak out about this yet. I'll let you know when to freak out. Because everybody and their mother has been sending me a text message or calling me or sending me emails about this, and I'm looking into it, and I just don't, there's not really a there. Not yet. Not yet. When the draft comes, then everybody can freak out. The draft will probably come within 6 months of us being at war with Russia. Ordering the selective reserve and certain members of the individual ready reserve of the armed forces to active duty. This is coming from the White House. By the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, including sections 121 and 123.04 of Title 10 United States Code, I hereby determine that it is necessary to augment the active armed forces of the United States for the effective conduct of Operation Atlantic Resolve in and around the United States European Command's area of responsibility. In furtherance of this operation, under the stated authority, I hereby authorize the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of Homeland Security, who's a traitor and a little mongrel, with respect to the Coast Guard, when it is not operating as a service in the Navy, under their respective jurisdictions, to order to active duty any units and any individual members not assigned to a unit organized to serve as a unit of the selected reserve, or any member in the individual ready reserve mobilization category, that's your IRR, and designated as essential under regulations prescribed by the secretary concerned, not to exceed 3,000 total members at any one time, of whom not more than 450 members may be of the individual ready reserve, as they deem necessary, and to terminate the service of those units and members ordered to active duty. This order is not intended to and does not create any right or benefit, substantive or procedural, enforceable at law or in equity by any party against the United States, its departments, agencies, or entities, its officers, employers, or excuse me, employees, or agents, or any other person. Blah, blah, blah. Joseph Biden. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go. So, once again, I'm not seeing anything too impressive here. I would like to know, Joe, how much coke does your son do? Do y'all see that the Secret Service concluded the investigation to cocaine? They already know who it is, and they're not going to tell us who. Gee, I wonder. I wonder who it could have been. Oh, speaking of Air Biden, I don't know if y'all saw this horrific video of this guy sniffing this little girl, acting like he's eating her or whatever. But it is disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Why anyone would allow this reprobate around your child is just beyond me. Right, here we go. Like I said, absolute reprobate. And look, what is he doing?
This is going to play out. Hang on.
Then he comes in to sniff her.
Oh, God.
What is with the sniffing, Joe? You pedophile. Freaking pedophile in chief, Joe Biden. For one thing, that poor girl. But two, the mother that allows that. I mean, like, you guys gotta know the guy's a pedophile, right? Oh, that's right. The Democrats are okay with that. That's part of the agenda for the amphibians. You know, to be Secret Service, to be on a fly on the wall, to watch the Secret Service having to deal with this Yahoo every day must be so entertaining. It must be. It must be so egregious to get out there and say, oh, well, I guess today's the day I'm going to take a bullet for Biden. God, please, not today. Not this guy. I know some Secret Service agents, man. They're good dudes. They're good dudes. That's a heck of a job. I would never do it. I know I applied for Secret Service like everybody else did whenever the titles would come out for the jobs. But I'm so glad that I never got hired on by those guys. Ugh. I mean, you're babysitting politicians. And if you ever worked in D.C., if you've ever been in D.C. and in our capacity within the federal government, it is horrible. Those people suck. They suck. They suck at their jobs. They suck at their life. And then for the law enforcement to have to stand there and watch these group of fanooks walk around smelling kids, you know, chasing after cocaine and prostitutes. I mean, for me, personally, it's the reason why I could never do the job. I'd rather be the Secret Service agent that stands there and, you know, watches the manhole cover. Put me on that. Put me on trash can duty. I'll go over here and guard this trash can. I'm not dealing with these people. And I do know guys who would purposely take a job while out on operation, where the, you know, I'm as far away from the principal as possible because I hate these people. Yep. And it's only going to get worse. Some of y'all may have no idea what I'm talking about, but some of you might. China says that NATO is the real troublemaker. Well, currently, right now, it is. Jens Stoltenberger, we'll go over this here pretty soon. He's threatening to send Ukrainian forces into France to quell the rioting. That's going to be interesting. Tucker Carlson is going to be creating a new media company. Go, Tucker, go. I wish we had more Tucker Carlson's. I pray for that man's safety and for his success, Lord. Please keep him righteous and on our side, and keep your hand over that man and his family and keep him safe. We need more guys like Tucker. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you guys saw this one. Let me see. So these two idiot activists, they're part of this Greenpeace, whatever, the ecological activists, they glued their hands together, side by side, onto the pavement. And the firefighters had to go out and cut the pavement around their hands. And now, because of the glue and whatever, they may have to get their hands amputated.
Entschuldigung. Warum du machen das?
Good job, prima. Germany.
Holy shit.
No. Yeah, good job, Germany. So what we just watched was a video on Twitter of these two young white girls who glued their hands to the pavement. And here's what it says. Eco-activists in Germany used a concrete and epoxy resin mixture. Oh, my. to glue their hands to the asphalt in protest. Tragically, the consequence may require potential amputation of their hands. raise your hand. Raise your hand if you survived the protest. All the hand jokes will come out. Yeah, I've been a part of these, working these damn protests where they'll do the sleeping dragon. They'll take a big section of a pipe and one person will handcuff themselves. One person will handcuff themselves like this, and then another person will stick their hand on the other side of the pipe and they'll handcuff themselves to each other. And then law enforcement, we have to have a cut truck, or we call a cut team, has to come in with special tools to be able to cut you out of pipes. And it's silly. That's what it is. It's just silly to do this to yourself, because the risk is I make the wrong cut and I take your hand off. And that's completely on you. So, yeah, these people are dumb. You know, gonna be dumb, better be tough. Ray Epps is supposed to be getting charged now. And now he is going to sue Tucker Carlson and Fox News, I guess, for painting him in a bad light, even though he was the one that the FBI has been protecting because he's one of their assets, and we all know it. Oh, Lord. Yep, Japanese embassy warns citizens about rising violent crime in France. France is rocking right now. France is really starting to get out of control. TripAdvisor warning, be careful if you go to France. Yeah, Secret Service closed Biden White House cocaine investigation without conducting any interviews. Good job, Secret Service. Good job. Let's see what we got going on Zero Hedge. August BRICS Summit hails death knell for the dollar. This may be something you guys want to pay attention to. In this week's episode of Live from the Vault, Andrew McGuire discusses the latest Basel III advancements and the indisputable impact of NSFR regulations on physical gold following its reclassification as a first-tier asset class. Not to go over this too much, but more or less what's going on in the markets is that Russia and China have been pushing so hard on all these other nations to circumvent the petrol dollar, the U.S. currency, and to buy in either Russian ruples, Chinese yuan, Indian ruples. I think there's another currency out there, anything to circumvent. And now Saudi Arabia just made a great big huge deal to exchange oil for yuan with China. So, you know, we are going to be taken down a peg or two, guys, when this little collapse really starts to begin. I don't think we're there yet, but I think we're getting close to it. I did want to talk about this, though. I found this to be interesting. You know, we talk about all the war, the active shooter stuff going on, the protests, the idiots, and we sometimes forget that Mother Nature's worse than all of us combined, right? God, I got to stop saying that phrase, Mother Nature. So beaten into my head to say that. Nature, nature, nature. Alaska's alert for the Shishaldin volcano has been upgraded after a strongly elevated surface temperatures. The Unimak Island, Alaska. The Alaskan Volcano Observatory upgraded the aviation alert levels for the Shishaldin volcano to a yellow status Tuesday after strongly elevated surface temperatures were detected at the summit. Shishaldin is near the center of Unimak Island in the eastern Aleutian Islands. A yellow aviation color code means that the volcano is exhibiting signs of elevated unrest. An advisory alert level was also issued. You know, let's talk about the weather real quick. There's a lot going on with the weather warfare, the weather modification stuff. Now Biden has officially said that we're going to try and blot out the sun for global warming purposes. I don't know what that is going to do, except hurt us. But this hurricane season, it's going to be something interesting to watch. I'm curious as to whether we're going to see the geo manipulation of the weather again, where America could get just torrential floods, you know, multiple class three, high class three, low to high class four hurricanes, maybe in class five hurricanes. Those categories right there is enough to destroy our economy if we got hit one after another after another, not to mention a volcano erupting that could also hurt us. And plus the drought. We haven't even talked about earthquakes in God knows how long, except Dutch Sense. That's the only trooper that's staying on with the whole hurricane. The whole earthquake thing. But yeah, guys, we need to be paying attention to the pesky weather. You know, being prepared for when the crap hits the fan, when the prophecy hits the fan, needs to mean that you're also ready for natural disasters. If you know that there's natural disasters, that's always going to happen in your locale, well, make sure that you're always preparing for that as well. Like, I know the aliens could come down and, you know, we'll send out our emissary, Timothy Alberino, to go out there and negotiate with the aliens. But if Tim can't do it and the aliens decide to invade, well, whatever. But beyond prophecy of the Bible coming true and revelation starting and tribulation starting, all this is hypothetical. It's hypothetical. It's sci-fi Christian-y stuff to talk about. You know, it's good for selling books and movies and tickets to this and that. But what we need to focus on is the reality of what's going on currently. World War III is a real thing. Our currency collapsing is a real thing. The American government turning completely totalitarianism is a real thing. NATO pressuring a nuclear exchange for any reason at all with Russia is a real thing happening right now. And then the threat from weather, all right? And we know that weather modification, the weather wars, that's a real thing. Steve Quayle wrote a great book about that. A lot of good guys have talked about the weather modification wars, Air Force owning the weather, all that type of stuff. So, you know, I never take that out of consideration of what the super weapons like HAARP could do. If we're not the only one who has a HAARP, the whole time we're worried about using this tactical nukes, this and cluster bombs, that we got earthquake weapons that we can generate almost pinpoint all around the world. I don't exactly know how that science works, but I'm just told to believe it and that it's good and that it does work. And that's concerning, because if we can do that to them, they can do that to us. You know, the worst thing I remember when I got into DHS, the thing that we were all talking about was the Great West Coast Shakeup Drill. And that was, if the Cascadia subduction zone fault line was to hit like a 7 mag or an 8 to 9 mag, and it then would travel down the West Coast, hit the San Andreas fault line, and then right at where the San Andreas fault line intersects with another fault line that goes across the country, you have two different nuclear reactors, the Three Sisters reactors. That's in Arizona. And then there's another one. It's like Devil's Canyon or Devil's something that's over there in California. That's two nuclear reactors right on top of fault lines. I always thought that was stupid as hell that we would do that. And then it just runs all the way across Texas, goes right through where I'm at. It goes up into Oklahoma and then all the way up into New York. So if you were to hit that, trigger that, and don't forget, Russia talked about doing that before. Russia told the U.S. back when Obama was the president, and you know he was feeling froggy and wanted to leap against Putin. And Putin told him, listen, we have the nukes and the capabilities to launch a 1,000-foot tidal wave on your west or east coast. Not only that, mess around and find out, and I'll hit the Yellowstone supervolcano Caldera with a nuclear weapon and awaken that monster. The last time the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted, I believe, was around like 700,000 years ago. So say the scientists, you know, the same guys who don't know which bathroom to use. And according to their measurements from the soil test, at Brownsville, Texas, that's on the border of Texas and Mexico, so at the very southern point, there was 3 feet of ash from that volcano's eruption. So, you know, that type of an eruption would be, phew, that would be very, very bad for all of us. And I actually know some guys who had to deal with the volcanic ash from the Pacific Islands. And I found this strange because I heard it in a book before. I'm trying to look up the book. It's a great book that has to do with the Yellowstone supervolcano. And they said, keep cheesecloth inside your vehicle. And so if there's ever an eruption, you have ash. And what you do is you just take that cheesecloth, cut it in a square, take the breather off of your engine where your air filter is going in, and then you put that cheesecloth over it as a second layer of protection so that ash isn't getting sucked into the engine. And according to them, it works. It works for a little while. Let's see. This book that I had, my wife and I actually listened to it. It was a really good book. Might have to listen to it again. By the way, I think it's funny. People email me and they want to know all the books I've listened to. There's so many of them out there. I think I have 234 books that I've listened to on Audible. Yeah. Bobby Acart. So Bobby Acart's one of my favorite authors. His Loyal Nine series is an awesome series that literally was wrote like 10 years ago, and it's talking about what's happening now with Ukraine. And it's spooky to remember that. And so even my agency, the Federal Protective Service, part of Department of Homeland Security, is actually one of the main bad guys in his novel series. And I thought that was really cool. I was like, ah, look at that. We're the bad guys. Cool. But his Yellowstone book series, you can get this on Audible. It's called Yellowstone Survival. And then there's another one, Yellowstone Fallout and Yellowstone Inferno. And then there's Yellowstone Hellfire. So that's the four-part book series. It's a pretty cool book. The first one, the park ranger is actually working in Yellowstone when the whole thing starts to freaking explode. And there's this like wicked scene where they're trying to get out of the pyroclastic flow. That's 2,000 to 3,000 degrees moving at, you know, hundreds of miles an hour. billowing up behind you. That's, man, that's, you know, I know guys who live within the Yellowstone supervolcano area, and they tell me they're completely fine with it. Nothing's going on. And then I know other guys who don't live there, but they're a bit of a conspiracy theorist, a little too much of a conspiracy theorist. Let's say that. And you guys know a couple of them. And they'll tell you that, oh, Yellowstone supervolcano, oh, it's going to explode any moment. And it's all this great big conspiracy to destroy America. And you know, you don't know who to listen to at this point with Yellowstone, but it is a threat. And it is a strategic threat and a strategic target for Russia. So I would say that there's something there to be concerned about. Okay, so we're going to go through a slide real quick. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of an update on what's going on in Ukraine. And then we can shut this puppy down. All right, update on the Ukrainian war. NATO says it will invite Ukraine to join when conditions are met. And Zelensky calls lack of timeline absurd. Here's a little man right here. I'm being set up. And he absolutely is being set up. He is going to get Gaddafi'd, and he knows it. So here's Zelensky and his four future friends. Now, don't forget, Noriega, friend of the U.S. Saddam Hussein, friend of the U.S. We gave Saddam chemical weapons, and that's what they used against the Iranians. Bin Laden and his brother worked for the U.S., some say worked for the CIA, and they were trained by the CIA, at least, out here in San Antonio, Texas, to learn how to fly little bitty planes. And then you have Gaddafi. He was a ally of sorts to the West for a while, and they all got, didn't they? So here's what Zelensky has recently posted. For this NATO summit that just went down. He said, we value our allies, we value our shared security, and we always appreciate an open conversation. Ukraine will be represented at the NATO summit in Vilnius because it is about respect. But Ukraine also deserves respect. Now, on the way to Vilnius, we receive signals that certain wording is being discussed without Ukraine. And I would like to emphasize that this wording is about the invitation to become NATO member, not about Ukraine's membership. It's unprecedented and absurd when time frame is not set neither for the invitation nor for Ukraine's membership, while at the same time, vague wording about conditions is added even for inviting Ukraine. It seems there is no readiness neither to invite Ukraine to NATO nor to make it a member of the alliance. This means that a window of opportunity is being left to bargain Ukraine's membership in NATO and negotiations with Russia. And for Russia, this means motivation to continue its terror. Uncertainty is weakness, and I will openly discuss this at the summit. Well, I can tell you this much. He was openly ignored at the summit. He did not get a NATO invitation. He did not get a NATO membership. And the little green man got bullied around. He is a puppet, a muppet. He's a tool. He's an asset. And he's expendable. And he knows it. Here he is, all by himself. Everybody's wearing three-piece suits except for this guy. Because he's an actor. That's his wardrobe. That's how he was told. He is to dress, him and his staff. This whole guy is a CIA operation, all the way through. Here's him meeting with Biden, Jens Stoltenberg there in the glasses. There's Erdogan of Turkey, a bunch of other finooks. I have no idea who they are. But the interesting thing here is that does Ukraine deserve respect? Sure. Sure. Everybody deserves a little bit of respect, right? Does Zelensky deserve respect?
Absolutely not. He's a weasel. While his men have been dying, fighting for their country, he has accumulated $300 million in wealth. He has just bought, I think, his fifth home now, his fifth multi-million dollar home. And this one, I think, is like a villa out somewhere in Italy. So, you know, while all these things are happening, this man is not fighting on the front lines, and he's telling people to go fight for their country. He forced people, conscripted them forcefully into the military. And me and Dave Hodges have sat here, and we've shown the videos. We've shown the videos where the Ukrainian soldiers were going house to house, and any man that was there was taken away from their family, forced in a panel van, and driven off. And most likely, 2 to 3 days of training, here's your Kalashnikov, there's your camis, go fight the Russians. And that's why they're losing. That's why they're having mutinies. That's why Ukrainians are surrendering to the Russians. You'll see that here in just a second. And speaking of our friends, the Russians, look at this. Hackers sabotage the NATO meeting. Damn sneaky Russians. I love this. This is so funny. They went and they put pictures of Vladimir Putin and of Moscow, St. Petersburg, and the Russian flag on all these picture frames and that are being displayed as available rooms. And this is at the same hotel where all the NATO people were staying at. That is just brilliant. Just brilliant. All right, the head of the British Ministry of Defense, Ben Wallace, recalled how in 2022 he spent 11 hours in Ukraine, and he was immediately handed a list of necessary weapons. After that, he told the meeting party, "You know, we are not Amazon. Ukraine must show gratitude to the West to keep support," UK defense minister warns. You know, that's like telling the Iraqis that they should show gratitude to the U.S. for continuing to fight against Al-Qaeda or ISIS. Do they really need to show gratitude? No. That's their country. They're going to fight for it, or they're not going to fight for it. Me personally, I don't give a damn for their gratitude. I don't need their gratitude. I don't want their attitude either. If we are floating the bill for your war, then go fight. Go die for your cause. And let me know what else you need. That's the way this war has gone on. But now we've gotten to this juncture where we're running out of our own supplies, and everybody knows it. But, you know, once again, Ukraine must show gratitude to the West. Ukraine is being set up to fall. Ukraine will be carved up amongst all the NATO allies, the Ukrainian citizens, and all the hell they've been through. They are the last people thought about in this war. The children in Ukraine are the last people thought about in this war. And that's why I hate war. That's why I hate the way the West, the United States now, wages wars. Because you get these rich muckety-mucks who they will sit there in all their glory, shaking hands, eating, you know, tuna off of, you know, little vegetable crackers and drinking their wines and their, you know, Sprizendales. And this was always my problem with the government, because what you're seeing, these bureaucrats, the military industrial complex, the intelligence industrial complex, all the world leaders who want you to go and fight and die, give me all your money so I can tax you a little bit more, take away your rights. Meanwhile, you can't have an air conditioning. You got to have worse cars, worse living standards, and we're going to fly on jetliners, private jetliners that you're going to pay for, so we can all kiss each other and make accords with each other at these meetings. Like, the NATO summit meeting could have been a Zoom call if you really cared about your country and the economy and, you know, the environment. But that's not what it's about. Now, I have been trying to say this name for this Italian newspaper, and I'm going to butcher it again. Il Fatto Quotidiano, however you say that. They wrote an article that said the United States is using the conflict in Ukraine to delay the collapse of its empire. At stake is this time and method of withdrawal of the United States from the bridge of the planet. The author noted that the final goal in the Ukrainian conflict has nothing to do with Ukraine. And that's true. It's regime change for Putin. That's the goal. The goal is regime change. All right. So I'm going to try and repeat what Zelensky is saying here to the best of my ability. But he says, I know in detail what every single state has. I know, and I say, look, you have this. We'd like to take 5% of it and 10% of this. And also you have another thing. And they say, no, we don't have this. And I say, yes, yes, you do. You don't have this one, then you have something similar. So what he's talking about is the military stockpiles from all the NATO allies. He knows what they have in stock and what they can give up. And that's what he's trying to do is he's like, you know, can you give me 5% of these? Can you give me 10% of your bullets, 5% of your 155 howitzer missiles? I mean, howitzer artillery shells, your missiles, your long rifles, your machine guns, your fuel, your oil, your money. Now, this one part, I want people to understand that the war that's going on is very difficult to watch when you see the battlefield footage coming in from the eastern side of Ukraine and the amount of bloodshed. But now the Russian armed forces are bombarding the Ukrainian militants, this is their article, with leaflets that look like currency. The idea behind the design is simple, that when they see the leaflets, that they feel an irresistible urge to pick them up since money always attracts attention. And while these leaflets won't enrich Ukrainian troops, they could provide something much more precious, a chance to survive. The tiny pieces of paper contain instructions for a safe surrender and act as a safe pass. Let's watch this video. For those of you who will be listening online, I'll do my best to read this as we go along. We cannot fight you, copy. I did not understand, who are you, where are you? This is a Ukrainians talking to Russians. We have the unit commander of the 128th Brigade who said that they received the flyers to surrender. They have 8 people that they need to evac out that are hurt and that they keep getting hit with mortar rounds. And they're wishing to surrender. And so now the Russians are verifying who they are and want to know where their location is. I'd like for you guys to notice also, they're using Baofeng radios.
Услышал, ждите, лежите, ничего не делайте, огонь не открывайте.
Добрый, принял.
Рубин, я кричит, прием.
Now those Baofeng radios are not going to be encrypted, so anyone can hear on that. So they probably dropped those or, you know, found a neutral way to talk to an enemy unit using Baofeng radios. Yeah, it's amazing. These guys actually, they found the leaflets and they're surrendering. There are so many Ukrainian troops that are currently surrendering right now to the Russians because they just don't have it in them to fight anymore. All right, imminent nuclear exchange, Zaporizhia nuclear plant. Rumors are spreading like nose rings and green hair about the Ukrainian nuclear plant in Zaporizhia being destroyed by either the Ukrainians or the Russians. Neither group would benefit from this, and the West and its allies are only stirring the pot more and more. Who knows what sources of information are even legitimate at this point? I don't even trust what I see now thanks to artificial intelligence. By the way, I'm calling January 6th AI now, an artificial insurrection. More to come on that point. When we see now that the American government is starting the posturing of a first strike and that their Muppet Zelensky is happily echoing it from his cue cards, and the guy is literally reading cue cards. He is being told what to say, what to wear, where to go, and how to guide this war for the public to view it. So I can't verify this information, but this is what we get. Now, this was saying that on July 4th or 5th, the United States will bomb the Zaporizhia power plant located near the city of Enerador in southern Ukraine. This guy claims to be a Marine Corps infantry veteran. He works for the United States government in electronic espionage, has been for 5 years. He got wind of this and then wants to throw it out there for everybody. The thing that makes me not believe this is this part right here, where it says you have 72 hours maximum to prepare for a nuclear war. That would have been on the 4th or 5th. Hopefully 96 hours if the Russians are slow to respond. And we have all been told to stay home and to prepare. And we've been given $15,000 bonuses each to buy survival supplies if necessary. Okay. So what is very funny is that if you think that the federal government is going to give you $15,000 bonuses because there's a rumor that there might be a war and you should go get your preparation items. Here's 15 grand. You are smoking whatever Hunter is smoking. They would most likely give you boxes of MREs, give you, waters and potassium iodide. They're not going to give you $15,000. So here you go. Use it at your discretion. Go buy what you need. We're about to be in nuclear war. Oh, and by the way, it didn't happen because today is what, the 14th? So this was supposed to have happened on the 4th or the 5th. So, Newland, she said that nuclear war was going to start on the 11th or 12th because that was the NATO meeting time frame, and that didn't happen either, did it? But now, look to this. Ukraine has just used cluster munitions to bomb the city of Tokmak in Zaporizhia, and the Russians are saying that they will have an exchange with their own cluster munitions. Reason why we're using cluster munitions is because the idiot-in-chief told a reporter that we no longer have the artillery rounds and missiles to send over to Ukraine, so we're going to start sending them cluster bombs. So that, here, we'll go back. This will be a conversation between a member of the Ukrainian government and media. They're talking about Zaporizhia and how they can clean it up. And just like Japan did with Fukushima, and they're very confident that they can clean up the spill, which I think is very foolhardy to even believe that. So here's a resolution responding to the threat posed by the Russian Federation's deployment of tactical nuclear weapons and for other purposes. This was by Lindsey Graham. The facility, which is Zaporizhia, that could be potentially dispersing radioactive contaminants into NATO territory, causing significant harm to human life as an attack on NATO requiring an immediate response, including the implementation of Article 5 of the North Atlantic Treaty. So this is the whole rumor mill that's been going on for the past like 2 weeks. Russia is going to bomb the nuclear plant and destroy it, or the U.S. or Ukraine's going to hit the nuclear plant and destroy it. The problem with this is that it still hasn't happened. But the way Lindsey Graham says is that if anything happens to that plant, and radiation leaks out into any NATO country, then Article 5, all of NATO comes to war against Russia, which if we're the ones who did it, then does that still stand? Well, the point of what I'm saying is they will make it look like they did it. They will make it look like the Russians did it. And here, this will be the last thing we'll go over today. Zelensky wants NATO to do a preeminent first strike on them right now. Ukraine wants a preeminent first strike on Russia with nuclear weapons right now. Watch. What should NATO do? They can use nuclear weapons on Russia, but what it is important. I once again appeal to the international community as it was before February 24th. We need to launch preemptive strikes so that they know what will happen to them if they use it and not vice versa. We need to eliminate the possibility that Russia will use nuclear strikes. Rethinking the use of pressure is what I think NATO should be doing. Reconsider the order of application of nuclear weapons. Madman. They want a nuclear strike right now on Russia. That's not going to happen. All right, guys. That's all I got. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Make sure that you like, share, subscribe. Stay frosty. Have a good weekend. See you soon. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.